How about that? Live from Buffalo Creek. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 1. This will be the last message in our series, Preparing for Death. And today the title is really to the saved. How should we prepare for death? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think the essence of what he's saying is my entire life, body, soul, and spirit, mind, heart, and will are to be devoted entirely to the service of Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ. My life is taken up with service to the King. I want to be a loyal, faithful, diligent subject until he comes again. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He didn't fear death. In fact, he says that to die is gain. How completely different is his attitude from the attitude of the majority of people on planet Earth? To die is gain? What do you mean? Well, he knew that he had been bought with a price, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he had resurrection life because of his union to Jesus Christ. He knew that his body would go to the grave, but he would soar into the very presence of the one who loved him and gave himself for him. That's why he said, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet not what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. There's the gain. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He realized God wasn't done with him yet. How should we that are saved, that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, indwelt by the person of the Holy Spirit, given all the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, having the fullness of the Word of God at our disposal, how should we prepare for death? Number one, count every day of life as a gift from the Lord, as an opportunity for service. Adlai loves that verse in Psalm 118, I believe it is. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. That's how we ought to face every single day. Awaking with that on our mind. Today is another day that God has given me. No matter come what may, by His grace, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to serve. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to reach out and show others the light of Jesus Christ. Live every day as though it's a gift from God, because it is. I mean, in Him we live and breathe and have our being. Number two, learn to live on purpose. Don't dawdle. Don't fritter away time on superficial pursuits. Live unto God. Make every single day count for His glory. Don't lose one of them. You know, we have the principle set forth in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, where Solomon wrote, as the preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You see, when you die, you don't render service any longer for rewards. You can only get rewards for what you do in this life. My mother-in-law, Shirley Redmond, often sends me a card or a letter. She writes a letter about every month, and she'll put in there, only one life to live, and soon is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Learn to live on purpose. Colossians chapter 3 is the New Testament parallel to that in Ecclesiastes, where Paul writes to the Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, everything you do, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Serve with an eye to the Master's will. Serve on purpose. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let that be our purpose. Number three, prepare for death by living with a sense of urgency. Your life's like a vapor. James said, what know ye not? No, I don't think James started off like that. That's how he, 1 Corinthians, man. Let me get over there to James. Sometimes you get things mixed up in your mind. James said this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You all have seen, I'm sure you've been out sometime early morning on a lake where you'll see, it looks like just steam, fog rising up off the lake, and you'll see it for a few minutes and then it's gone completely when the sun burns it away. That's how brief our life is. We have to live with a sense of urgency. You see, our life, according to Psalm 90, which is the time psalm, he said that our life is like a tale that is told. And he said, 70 is the appointed years of man, 80 with strength. And some of you are beyond that. By the grace of God, you're not there yet, are you, Al? Are you 70? Three score and a whole lot more. See, now that's somebody that's been preaching a while. He can make that rhyme like that. We ought to be thankful for every day. Live on purpose. Don't let a day pass without instructing your children and your grandchildren in the truths of God's Word and eternity. I've marveled at Tammy through the years, how she'll make application of things. She did it when our kids were little from the Word of God, just through everyday life. She does it with the grandkids, trying to make an impression that the Word of God should be taught every single day. Some principle in God's Word. Don't waste a moment of time. Today could be your last day. Live well. Pray earnestly. Witness sincerely. Seek to please God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your might. Serving with every fiber of your being. As if Jesus were coming today, or today may be the day when you depart this life and enter into heaven's glory. Now, the reason why we need to be reminded of this is because if you really are honest with yourself, you'll allow days and weeks without giving thought to your mortality. Without giving thought that today really could be my last day. That Jesus may be coming back. Am I watching? Am I praying? Am I earnest and zealous in my service to the Lord? We need a sense of urgency. Number four, learn to embrace suffering and trials, afflictions, and even persecutions in this life as things appointed by God for your good to prepare you for glory. If you can adopt that attitude while you live this life, it'll keep you from getting bitter. If you understand that God does all things well. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, one of my favorite passages illustrating this. 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," that's the weight of our afflictions, "they're light in comparison to what we really deserve, an eternity in hell, which is but for a moment." The afflictions, the trials, the persecutions, the sickness, all of it is only temporary. That's the length of our affliction. This too shall pass. And then we see the outcome. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The length, the weight, the length, the outcome. That's how we have to view the trials of life. God's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's all wise. He's all loving. He is righteous. So even the most difficult of times, we need to learn to embrace. Because the one who has appointed the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done has ordained what you and I are going through in this life. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that they had been appointed to tribulations and afflictions. 2 Thessalonians, wait a minute, that might be 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. It was something that they knew firsthand. Tribulations, trials, difficulties, hardships, persecutions. I've said many times, we in America, really the first nation in the world's history that had written into their founding documents the freedom of speech, the freedom to bear arms, the freedom to worship and assemble according to the dictates of your own conscience. And by and large, we have enjoyed that. I tell you what, folks, globalism, atheism, communism, in order for it to work, they got to get rid of people that actually believe this book. Do you really think that they care about all these people and issues? That's not their desire. The desire of globalists are to control everything. I think they're preparing people for the revelation of the man of sin, the Antichrist. So, listen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Do you think just because you're an American that you're going to be spared persecution for your faith? You better gird up the loins of your mind. Live on purpose. And when the trials come, embrace them, knowing that God uses all of that to strengthen your faith, your resolve, your determination to serve Him. Even today, I ask you, resolve in your heart, I am going to stand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God help us to truly make godly resolutions. You see it all through the Psalm 119. You read Psalm 119 and look at all the resolutions that David made. You understand that even these difficulties are from God for a purpose. You won't get bitter. You won't get mad. You'll just go to the Lord, say, Lord, help me. I don't fully understand all of this, but here I am. I'm trusting you. You've got to live like that every day. Listen, this virus is not going away. There's never going to be anywhere in the world COVID zero. It's just not going to happen. I don't believe that it was designed to ever go away. But God permitted it. In His wisdom, He permitted it. And you know what? You better learn how to deal with it each and every day. How do I deal with it? I just try to live my life the best I can. If I see somebody coughing and snotting around, I try to stay away from them. I wash my hands when I go home. I walk, like old Miss Pemberton, Miss Balmer used to say, you better go home and wash off the fellowship. I do that. I take mega doses, man, of vitamin C, vitamin D3. See the color? I mean, I'm D'd up, boy. Now, I realize that I'm doing everything that I can do responsibly myself. But ultimately, if that germ comes, I actually think it's already been here in me. I know it's been there in the Pembertons. They tested negative, I don't know how many times, but I think they were all, the thing was, he was sick for a month last year. It was 2020, wasn't it? 2020? Yeah, he was sick as a dog. You know what? You got to learn how to deal with it. Because trials are going to come. Pray for people. Especially for older folks that have all kinds of underlying conditions. Pray that God will protect them, and if they get it, that God will spare their life. He has spared a lot of people that I thought once they got it, they were goners. God has other plans. You're not done till He says so. Number five, and I've only got 15 points. No, I don't. Boy, Hannah got really concerned right there. Number five, yield yourself to the Lord. Give everything you have to Him to be used as He sees fit. It's how you got to live every day. It's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, very familiar passage of Scripture. Wherefore I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That, my friends, that is a life of surrender, where your will is yielded to God Almighty. This is what Jesus was talking about when He said, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to take up the cross and follow me. You've got to die to self, to your self-will, and yield yourself entirely to God. Number six, Micah 6:8, walk humbly with thy God. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. See, death makes all men equal. It strips away everything you have accumulated. When Bill Gates dies, or LeBron James dies, they'll have exactly the same amount of material wealth as I do when I die. And I mean, they're billionaires. They might even be trillionaires. They might even be quadzillionaires. I mean, they just make numbers up as they go along. But you know what? When they die, they're going to have the exact same thing materially that I have. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. The only difference is the one that counts. And that is, I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I pray that God would be pleased to reveal Himself to Bill Gates in the person of Christ and LeBron James and some of these other high-profile moneymakers, and see their hearts humbled before the Lord before they die. Because listen, hell is real. Judgment is real. Bible says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Walk humbly. And then lastly, as you prepare for death, learn to feast on the hope of future glory. Realize that there is something far more glorious beyond this life. This world is filled with trials and troubles that must be endured, storms that we must pass through. Yet all in all, they're nothing compared to what is coming in our glorious future with Christ and the people of God as the eternal ages roll on. Learn to recognize what's really important. Serve God and rejoice in your future. You know, Paul told the Romans, and he knew by divine revelation that troubles were really coming upon Christian people. And he said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is not some pie in the sky. This is reality for the child of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live is Christ, to die is gain. You see, we're going to take our place with the ransomed, blood-washed throng. And we'll be right there in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." We're going to take our place with all the redeemed. Around the throne of God, lifting up our voices in endless praise to the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the One who was altogether lovely, the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. We're going to see Him as He is. And we're going to be like Him and worship Him and adore Him and rejoice as the eternal ages roll on. We got something to look forward to. Please learn to feast on that hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how you and I prepare for death. We live well in this life unto God for His glory, knowing all the while we've been redeemed. We're going to be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's all stand.